Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Duel Screens podcast. Nah, just kidding. Just kidding. Everything's back to normal. The microphone's back to normal. Andy's back to normal. Everybody's back to normal. Welcome, everybody.
I am never back to normal.
Who knows when things will actually be back to normal? Welcome to the Duel Screens podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana. And with me, as always, he is my co-host and partner in everything Duel Screens. He's the other screen of the Duel Screens. It is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing good. Today, I felt like I was channeling my Sam Bridges energy, my Porter power.
Oh boy!
I made like 12 deliveries to my mom, to like four of my aunts and some neighbors.
Oh, so you're swimming in that.
Because I'm just like, no one leave the house. Don't answer the door. Leave it ajar. I'll walk in and I'll walk out. Some of your thanks and your thumbs up and your likes. And subscribe to my channel. And walk away.
Now, Andy, I don't know if you've noticed, but for every podcast that we've done, I say, it is Andy Asimakis, as in it, I-T, it is Andy Asimakis. Have you ever, do you think I do that on purpose or accidentally?
I think you are assuming my gender and my pronoun, and I don't take kindly to that one bit.
Well, I know.
Yeah, I've never noticed it till just now.
Well, I say it because you are an anomaly wrapped in an enigma.
I am wrapped in a Twinkie.
And with us this week, joining
us, still there?
Is Davion Gooden, the creator of She Dreams Elsewhere, a surreal adventure RPG about dreams and the extent to which they mirror reality. Davion, welcome to the show.
Howdy, howdy. How's it going?
We're very happy to see you. We'll hear from you. We're very happy to have you here. We did meet at PAX East, for those who do not know. I think you might have been our first appointment.
He was. Yeah, the first one.
Oh, I feel so special. Wow.
You set the bar really high, dude, just so you know. It's like, shit, the rest of this game is as good as this one.
And your interview was fantastic, because usually those things are kind of hard to just jump into when you don't have a warm-up. So technically, you were like the warm up for the day, and you just jumped in and gave us all that positive energy, and we absolutely fell in love with you right then and there. The game looks fantastic, but ladies and gentlemen, you just stumbled upon the Duel Screens podcast. What is the Duel Screens podcast? Well, I'll fucking tell you if you just sit down and shut up. This is an interview show where Andy and I bring on an industry guest to tell us their story and to discuss their latest project. Every single person in the video game industry, be it a programmer, an artist, a voice actor, a producer, whoever the hell it is, they have a story to tell, and this is their platform to do so. Remember, folks, this posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. We love you for doing that. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, yo, give us that sweet, sweet review, all right? It goes a long way. But Davion, enough of that nonsense. We're going to tell people about other stuff later at the end of the show because Andy moved it from the dock. I assume you did that on purpose.
I did.
So I'm going to move on. It is time to talk about you, Davion. Davion, how the hell are you?
You know, I'm dying, but, you know, still kicking somehow. Yeah, it's been a long few weeks, that's for sure.
So have you been under the weather? Do you have the thing?
Sadly, or not sadly, thankfully I didn't get the thing.
Okay.
I thought I had it for a little bit, but it was just like a, you know, random ass thing that I usually get because, you know, my body is a piece of shit. But it's been physically I've been fine. Mentally, that's been shot for a while now. Hanging in there.
You know, the mental thing, you know, this certainly is, the certain circumstances that we are in right now is certainly not helping the whole mental thing. But She Dreams Elsewhere, this was first of all, the art style is the first thing, right, that I feel like anybody's going to notice. It's very striking, very surreal, very bizarre. But for those who don't know what She Dreams Elsewhere is, what is She Dreams Elsewhere?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me lay it down for all you kids out there. She Dreams Elsewhere is a surreal adventure RPG. You're playing as a girl named Dahlia, and you're in a coma. You got to figure out like how you got in a coma and find a way to wake up and confront your own inner nightmares and just have this horrible trip experience throughout the entire thing. And yeah, that's my weird shit.
Sweet. So before we get into the actual game and like what got you to making it, tell us a little bit about your career before you started working on She Dreams Elsewhere. What got you to She Dreams Elsewhere? Where did you start?
Well, I started making games about a decade as of last month, which feels like really weird to say out loud. Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Started when I was in fifth grade. downloaded this game maker first and then RPG Maker. And then I was like, hey, it's kind of fun. Might as well, you know, keep up this, you know, game dev thing for a little bit. And then when I got into high school, that's when I kind of like started getting serious about the whole, like, kind of making it more of a quote unquote career. So I started doing that. I had some projects in the works that like didn't go like anywhere. And I also like did some film work for a little bit too. So I started that in high school. And it was kind of like my senior year of high school, was when like both film and games kind of like just really like grew. So that's when I started my second feature film for my senior project. And I also started See Dreams Elsewhere around that time too. And I was like, yeah, you know, let me, you know, make this like super small but still ambitious like RPG, like while also like doing a film, while also like being a senior and also like trying not to die.
Sure.
You know, this will be fine. It'll take like, you know, just a few months. And then it didn't. So yeah, here we are.
So how did you get from essentially doing this as kind of like a passion thing, you know, as a high school student to being on the floor of PAX East 2020?
I really wish I had an answer for that. All I have is a very educated guess. But yeah, I don't know, man. It was, so the reason why She Dreams Elsewhere, like there are like a bunch of like projects before this one. And what happened with those projects is that it'd be a cycle of like, oh, hey, I'm working on this one thing, but I have a new idea. Let me go like work on that for a little bit. And the other project like just gets like put in the can. So it was a loop of that for a while. And She Dreams Elsewhere almost fell into that. And it was like right before I went off to college. It almost happened, but then I took another look at it. Like that's when I switched the art style a little bit. And I was like, this premise is like just way too good to kind of like just let go like that. So I kept working on it. But I was still like attending school at the time. So I did one semester of college. Quickly said, fuck that, because fuck college.
Right.
So I came back home, but I wasn't like ready to kind of like be an adult yet, I guess. So I was like, hey, let me just kind of keep working on this game. Let me make this my like quote unquote job. So I kept at that for a little while. Attended like some events. And then from there, it's been like just kind of like bigger and faster, like ever since then. And just, yeah, it's really a really weird and wild past few years, but it's been a good time.
Can I just say, when you start off, when you say things like, I've been doing this for 10 years since the fifth grade, my first thought was, oh yeah, because when we were all young, we had little doodles and sketches of games you wanted to make. But then you mentioned downloading Game Maker, and I was like, oh God, I feel old now.
You're not the first one to say
that. 21 years old? How old are you?
Fifth grade, man. 22. I was 22.
Oh, 22. 20.
Okay, so I have a decade on you. So there's that.
I am in full blown boomer status right now on this podcast.
I was in fifth grade when you were brought into this world. Check that out.
Oh wow! Huh.
And the thing I was worried about in fifth grade was if Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan were going to beat the goddamn Monstars. That's all I was worried about.
Which is a very important question.
It is a very important question.
You and that freaking movie.
Listen,
what is it?
I watched it tonight.
Great choice, honestly. Great choice.
You know, I spent my time playing about an hour or so of She Dreams Elsewhere to get reacquainted with the characters and the gameplay and the amazing art style. You know,
nah, man, Space Jam.
Avion, I got children. Okay, I'm trying to get them inundated into the things I liked as a child. That's all I'm trying to do. All I'm doing is making them watch Ninja Turtles 1 and 2, and Space Jam, and whatever the hell else. And then when they go to bed, it's daddy time to do all these nonsense podcasts.
What you should be doing, Stephen, is you should introduce them to a game like this, which, you know, grapples with some real mature themes like depression to prepare them for, you know, life.
Oh, they are living through depression, my friend. They see two parents
being with you in a room all day long.
they see two parents, a father who lost everything, lost his job, lost his insurance, lost everything because of a virus that I can't explain to my goddamn children. And their grandparents live 40 feet away and they can't see them. They know what depression looks like, my friend. They don't comprehend it yet, but they know what it looks like. So
welcome to real life.
Yeah. So on depression, so this game, Davion, is based a lot about your own real experiences and your own dreams. So kind of go into how the process of crafting a story around your own personal experiences.
Yeah. So at first it was like kind of like super generic when it first started. Like, you know, here's what everybody dreams about. Let's like make some like kind of weird like metaphor that you can like find up on like, you know, whatever. You just search Google or whatever. But as time kind of went on, like, you know, maybe like going off in college, like feeling like all these kind of emotions, you know, the pressure of adulthood kind of like slowly creeping up on you. Like, basically, I kind of got into my own feelings. So I was like, well, I could, A, just kind of like wall around and just kind of lay in bed all day and be a piece of shit, which is kind of like what I usually do. Or B, I can like get off my ass for like a little bit and like put it into my art, I guess. So I did that. Well, I did both of them. But the latter is like what kind of is what kind of let me off into what the game is right now. But yeah, basically the whole writing process, like just me kind of staring at a blank page in my feelings, trying to write some shit down, not writing anything down, and repeat that for about 4 years now. So yeah.
You know, see, I know that this game is your game because A, like I can, the word shit is all over your conversation and it's everywhere in the game. It's like every other word is the word shit. And it always gets me. And there's a lot of like self-loathing, which I can really relate to because I have those days where I feel like I am really not up to getting out of bed and I look in the mirror. I'm like, oh God, I look like real ass today. Another good line from the game.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I don't take myself seriously at all. So like, you know, like being in like those moments like that, like a lot of like my coping mechanisms is just kind of like make a joke out of it and laugh. To an extent, obviously, but you know, it's we've all got our own methods and the world's kind of a piece of shit anyway. So then there's shit again. God damn it. I'm never going to like not notice that now since you just said that.
It's what Andy does, man. He just plants a little seed that grows in your brain and eventually strangles you to death. That's Andy's MO. That's what he does.
That's what I'm good at.
That's why I refer to him as it. So you've been making games almost as long as you probably could even play games. I mean, 10 or 11 years old is like, I mean, how long could you have been playing games? Maybe 4 or 5 years where you really understand and remember and you know, like whatever, could have memories and stuff like that. So what games did you grow up playing that kind of directly influenced the systems in She Dreams Elsewhere?
So I loved RPGs as a kid. But even like kind of going like back further. So my very first like gaming system was the Game Boy Advance SP. And I got it. It was a Christmas Day when I was in kindergarten. And the first two games I played was... it was the Hey Arnold video game, the SpongeBob game for Game Boy. Trash games, but indirectly kind of got me into the whole like kind of lo-fi like pixel style. And like those games like aren't as like lo-fi as like She Dreams, but like it was still kind of like a starting point. So like after that year, I got a new console for Christmas almost every year for like the next few years. So the next one I got was GameCube and then a PS2. And that's how I got into RPGs, especially with the PS2, playing games like Kingdom Hearts, like Final Fantasy, like that was my, here it comes again. That was my shit growing up. Like it's, I just love the characters. I love the gameplay of it all. The atmospheres, like, yeah.
What was your first Final Fantasy? Like, what was the one that like you played in like that? Like everybody has their Final Fantasy, right? Like when I grew up, 7 was the one that got its hooks in me. 7 is the one that opened Pandora's box of Final Fantasy. And then 7 led to 8 and then 9. And then I went back to 6/3 and then Tactics and then, you know, Scatter and 10 and 10-2 and like all that stuff kind of snowballed from there. So what's your Final Fantasy?
For me, that would be 8. And that was because Squall was in Kingdom Hearts. And my uncle, who was the one who like really like got me into like that side of video games, he was like, oh yeah, Squall, like, or Leon. Yeah, he's like from like this, yeah, he's like, oh yeah, he's in this game called Final Fantasy. Like, do you want to like borrow it and play it? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And even though it was like, you know, I guess like an old game compared to like what I was playing at the time, like it was like the atmosphere of it all and just like those like gameplay systems just like drew me in immediately.
Yeah.
So I love Final Fantasy VIII for all of its flaws, even though like as a kid, I like, I played like the first like hour of it, like probably like a good like dozen times, because like I just was trash at video games. Mm. But I fell in love either way.
So, I mean, I don't want to go too far down the Final Fantasy rabbit hole, but like when I got 7, I want to say I was probably about 10. Well, that came out in 97. So yeah, I was like 11, I think. 11 or 12 years old, but like reading was not something I wanted to do playing a video game. It just wasn't. And so when I first got it, I was like, ah, yeah, this is fun. And I guess this is cool, but I didn't really get into it. And then, I think it was the following year 8 came out, and, I spent a weekend or a week or whatever during the summer with my cousins. And one of my cousins, Mike, he's, you know, super intellectual. He's like a, you know, in the medical field now and all that stuff. And so playing that game with him, who did absorb all the text and like all the characters and like all that stuff, and he could like tell me what was going on and I didn't really have to pay attention to it, that made me fall in love with Final Fantasy. And then I went back to 7 afterward because I still had it. And that's when like I really started paying attention and really absorbing that stuff. So I don't know. It's, those games are very special. 8 has a very, very special place in my heart as well. That card game too. Ooh, chef's kiss. You know what I mean?
See, I'm like one of the few people who's like low key blasphemy, but like I just like can't get into it. Like I can realize that it's like good, but like I just, for whatever reason, I've never been like a card game type of guy.
The game is so catchy though. Like the song makes the game. So on the topic of RPGs, this is an RPG.
Apparently.
And yes. And to me, like my first thoughts were, this is like, it does so many things right. It's the best parts of Earthbound. It's like weird and kind of wild, and it's got the 16-bit kind of aesthetics going on. And it's a lot of Persona in there too, I get. Hmm. Was that intentional? Yeah, are you a huge... Okay. So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, like, so I played Persona 3 and 4, yet to play 5. And, like, those games are just, like, especially in, like, the gameplay, it's, like, exactly what I'm trying to go for, where it's, like, it's simple enough to like, understand, and, like, you can, like, still go deal with it, but it's, like, not as, like, you know, as, like, ball-crunchingly, like, difficult as, like, you know, one of those games, like, the SMT series. You know, anybody can, like, still get into it. And I remember when I was playing Persona 3 for the first time, and I got my first like all-out attack in that game, and that's like it all just like clicked to me, and I was like, "Oh my god, like this game is amazing! Like the combat, like perfect, chef's kiss."
And that music too—that's like one of the best battle themes in RPG ever, I could say.
So good, bangers all throughout that entire series.
See, you got to get Royal. Just go out and buy it because it's going to change your life. See, and now you get best version of the game, so I envy you for holding out for all these years, because, god damn it, you're going to get the best version of the game with so much more additional content now.
I know, and, like, I really want to play it, but I can't play it now, because if I do, like, I'm just not going to get anything done. Like, this game is just not going to come out.
You can just get some of that, play some Final Fantasy VII Remake, and then, you know, develop your game, you know, in the 2 a.m., if you can.
Do what every responsible game dev does.
That's an average Tuesday.
Throw She Dreams Elsewhere, throw it up there, call it early access, ask people for money, yada yada, leave it there. Beat Persona 5, then come back and just remove the word early access and then call it a complete game. And you're good to go.
Yeah. Without finishing anything else.
No. Just, you know, nothing needs to be done. Just say it was in early access, put it in there for like 18 months, and then come back and take that label off. It'll be fine. PUBG's still in early access, for God's sakes.
So yeah. I can definitely see why you went for an RPG sort of combat format. But can you go into why you chose this particular graphic style?
Yeah. So with the overall style, at first it was about the whole like colorful, like very earthboundy, like very cartoony. So. And because of like this Photoshop mistake, I like made everything black and white. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty wrong. But like it really like had one of those like psychedelic surreal vibes I was going for. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, I might as well kind of like do this for the whole game, kind of develop it a little bit further, like adding those like color like touches. And yeah, like I've always just like I'm a fan of just psychedelic, just like weird surrealness in general. Mm-hmm. So like just having that style was just like, it's like right up my alley. So I was like, yeah, I kind of have to do this now.
It's like amazing how it's so minimalist, but when you have the little color highlights, it just, everything just pops in such a way that, like, when I did my preview on the game, I called it like essentially a work of art, because that's what it feels like when you're watching the game. Everything feels so deliberate, and just like, I can see you thinking behind the mask, like, okay, I want this color here. I want to highlight this little cup of coffee. I want this little fire to be lit up, but it just adds so much depth in such a simple
way. Oh, you're too kind.
I try.
So too kind.
Plus, I'm a huge sucker for this kind of aesthetic. I love sprites, like, no joke. So that's why I was like, oh, let's see this game trailer. Oh, okay. First game on the list for PAX East 2020.
Oh.
Davion, did
y'all gas me up way too much?
Did you have anybody to like bounce this stuff off of, or were you just kind of making this in a vacuum and then like you just presented it one day to somebody and they were like, okay, this is great? Or like, did you have little baby steps of saying, oh yeah, the black and white thing, see if somebody likes that? Or, you know, I guess what I'm asking is, were you making this completely in a vacuum and then it just happened to have hit and resonated with people, or did you have iterative steps and people giving you feedback as you were going?
Pretty much both. Like, so my whole work process was like, and just in general, it's just like, so like I spend a lot of time kind of like doing my own thing, a lot of like brainstorming, a lot of just like, you know, playing around different directions. And then when I'm comfortable, like I kind of take all of that and like just show it to like kind of a close group of my friends. So based on their feedback, I don't want to say I get like validated, but like I basically kind of get validated to like show it off to like kind of a bigger group of people after that. So just like as like a general example, it would be like the demo of the game that's like out on Steam. So that was shown off to like two of my best friends at first, like way back in the day. Got their notes, then I took it to like a more like closed group of testers, which like still more people, but like still like pretty close. Mm-hmm. Got more feedback off of that, iterated, took it to like some smaller events, iterated on that. And after that is when I was like, okay, it's like in a good spot now. Let's kind of show it off to the world. You know, let my kid go, and just see what happens from there.
So, what's reception? I'm sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
That's okay. You can go.
I just want to know what the reception's been since you threw the demo up on Steam. Like, what kind of feedback are you getting?
So, I always saw this as just kind of like, you know, Davion making his like weird ass little game that probably like maybe 10 people were going to play, and then 10 people played it, and then eventually thousands of people played it, and I was like, this is really weird, but okay, cool. Reception's been like really like super dope so far. Like, people like really like, you know, resonating with it in ways I didn't expect. People catching up on like the little details, that some of which that I put in there, others are just kind of like their own specific take on things. So it's like, it's really cool to like see that come across. At the same time, there's like a lot of pressure now too, especially like these past few months. A lot more people involved now too, just like kind of on the outside support of things. So like, you know, Pub Agenda, who's doing PR, White Thorn, who's doing porting. So kind of like just, you know, like doing my own thing, but also having to, you know, coordinate all these other parts. Plus, you know, there's also like, I guess, I don't want to say fan, but like fan expectations too. So it's just, it's been a lot to like wrap my head around, and yeah, low-key, I kind of miss the days when it was just, like, me in, like, my bedroom, just kind of, like, you know, mashing a keyboard, hoping that, like, I make something that's, like, kind of decent for me. But, you know, it's, you take it one day at a time.
How has your workload changed now that your baby is sort of more visible on the internet and amongst other gamers? Do you feel like now that it's more real to the world, you have to work twice as hard to get it out the door? How has your normal work day with this game changed before or since like PAX East or the demo coming out per se?
There's definitely been like a lot more structure to my days, like in general, at least until this whole virus thing went down. But yeah, so definitely more of a structure, is kind of like, you know, checking in on like, you know, my collaborators, checking social media, you know, doing my own like DIY things over there. Plus like work on the game, having more of a like set schedule and like milestones to follow. So there's that, and then like, as far as like expectations, like I'm like very guilty of like just getting in my own head and like just like you know, second guessing things, just like changing things just for the sake of it. And plus, like, I've been working on this game for like years, so I'm only half joking when I say I hate this game, just because like it's been so long. But I try to keep my head down. So let's keep stay on the path. You know, what I did in the demo, like that works. Keep on that path and just try to actually ship this game for once.
God, you are Thalia is you, and you are Thalia. Like that's that's all I'm getting right now. Because I can. I see her when you speak, and I can I'm gonna tie your voice to her character now when she speaks in the game. It's like that is him. it is this little sprite version of him in the game.
Well, now I can't. That's just gonna be in my head from now on. Now, just whenever I play this game, it's just gonna be like my voice. I'm like, thanks.
And the great, say, oh shit!
You're gonna hate it even more. Great.
Yep. Great. Yep. good times.
So what's your roadmap right now? So you got this demo out. What's your roadmap for She Dreams Elsewhere?
That is a very good question. That is a question that I've been trying to answer like about these past few days.
Let's hammer it out. You know what, Davion? Let's just fucking hammer it out right now. The three of us.
let's figure this out once and for all.
Let's get the pen and paper out. We'll come up with some fucking news, and we'll write it up, and we'll tell the world, and we'll get this shit done. All
right,
babe?
It's out right now. Fuck it. It's done.
All right, here we go. The plan is we finish the game tonight. We have 5 hours. It launches at noon tomorrow, and if it's not done, it's canceled.
Heard that.
Now it has to be finished.
Heard yeah. that. I like the
That's called a plan
answer.
Right there, boys.
So is it at the point where you don't really know what steps need to be taken? I mean, I feel like a game like this, you know, it's taken, you know, so many years, and that there are now other hands in the cookie jars, you know, so to speak, or, you know, kneading the dough a little bit. So what is the next step? Like, what are you working towards right now?
So for me, in general, I'm just like focused on just finishing the actual game, like, you know, finishing whatever dialogue there is, you know, level designs, battles, all that stuff. And also like prepping like demos and like, you know, video material for like upcoming events and like online things. Which again, like, cause of the virus thing, like a lot of my, like all of my like in-person events, like all got canceled until like July at the earliest. And that's, and that's what like I always use it like as, like milestones for me. So yeah, I'm on side just like prepping for stuff like that. With porting, just kind of like figuring out like the, you know, finish like the next steps for that, like the actual process of like how to do it. Because RPG Maker to consoles, that's a headache to say the very least. Mm-hmm. But it'll get done, but it's just a lot to handle. And plus, like I'm only just like one guy, I work on it too, so it's just kind of like. You got that whole aspect too.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of like the reason why I was asking is because, like, you know, the very little experience I have in game dev, which is like 2 weeks old at this point, like, I don't understand how one person can do any of this stuff. Like, I just don't. Seeing all the moving pieces, seeing everything that kind of goes into making something even as simple as a game design document, I just don't understand how you could even do it. Like, how do you prioritize stuff like that? Like, what have you learned over the course of making games by yourself? What do you prioritize? You're in the home stretch, obviously. You say that you got to finish dialogue, finish, you know, encounters and stuff like that. And then you also have to make demos, like, what, you know, for, or capture video and like all the stuff. Like, how do you prioritize what needs to be done first?
That's actually a really good question. Yeah, it's just based on like kind of, you know, looking at the calendar, like what is coming up, like. Like, just for example, like, so my next, like, I guess, big event is a Ludo Narrowcon at the end of this month. And that requires just kind of, like, you know, 4 hours of, like, you know, having streaming content ready. So, like, prepping for that, like, what needs to be done, just, like, you know, as far as, like, materials for that, like, videos to prep, and also, like, what to show off, like, from the game itself. Because I want to, like, show off, like, as much new content as possible, but also, like, keep it kind of reserved, too. Because you also have to reserve stuff for, like, just specific... platform holders to kind of be a little bit like broad about that, but yeah, it's really just like about like looking at the schedule, looking at your own priorities, just kind of like going off of that.
Now you're in the home stretch, I imagine, and Is there something that you're thinking of working on when this is out there? Like just in your head, like just like as a simple idea you've been thinking of, or just you're focusing on this right now, and then we'll see if you do another game after this is out the door.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this topic like a lot these past few weeks, and so I've had an idea for the next game in my head since like 2017 now. And I know that's most likely going to be like the second like big boy project that I'm also not going to do alone. Like I need like an actual team for that one, actual team, actual budget. And I'm not too worried about that. It's just like about like, do I want to like, when do I want to get back into game dev? Cause I also like want to, like for one, I want to take a break. And number two, like I want to like, get back into film and TV, which I have like some stuff I'm writing right now for that. So it's a matter of like, you know, when is that going to happen? How is it all going to pan out? And also like by the end of this whole, you know, release process, like what am I actually going to feel like? Cause you know, things change rather quickly, as I'm sure, you know, we've all kind of noticed these past few weeks and months. But yeah, at this point, just kind of like just having those ideas in the back of my head, but otherwise I kind of stay in focus, eyes on the prize, that type of thing.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right, are we ready for rapid fire questions?
Ooh, rapid fire. Uh-oh. It's time to not be a tool bag. You're gonna answer these questions really fast and honestly.
How right, scared should I be?
Just speak from the heart.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. There are a couple of traditional questions we ask, but everything else is improvised. So you should be as scared as we are, I guess, in a sense that we don't know what we're going to say either.
Cool. I mean, I never know what I'm going to say, so you're good. You're Gucci.
Well, we know at least shit is going to be at least said a few times. We know.
Oh, that's guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
All right, so let me ask you this shit. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Fuck no. Are you kidding me? Fuck no.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. That is a great fucking answer. That is the shit of an answer. Next question. Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Ooh. That's hard. Just off a gut feeling, I'm going to say flight, just because like flying around and shit would be fucking dope.
Hell yeah. And you know, going invisible is not unlike what you do when you stay in bed until noon. So,
true, very true.
You've experienced that already. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yep. All right. Next question: is cereal a soup?
Okay. All right. Hold up. Okay. So, I've written an entire 10-minute play about the specific topic in the style of Seinfeld, and the answer to this question: yes, cereal is 100% soup. It is law. It is fact. There will be no debates about this. Yes.
How many characters are in that play, if you don't mind me asking?
There are four.
Okay.
Ooh, we're doing table read.
Yeah. Send us that script. We're going to do a table read for our Patreon bonus content.
Oh, God.
Send it over, my friend. You're looking at a trained Screen Actors Guild member, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway.
Oh, look at you flexing.
Let's go. Let's flex, bro. Come on.
All right. What was the last Halloween costume you wore?
Oh God, this is so embarrassing. It's not like super embarrassing. It's embarrassing for me. So I was going to be Spider-Man last year, but I didn't get my costume in time. So I was like, oh, what shit do I have like laying around the house? So I was like, all right, I could be the dude from the main character from Get Out, which is a great movie, one of my favorite horror movies. So we go to like this event happening downtown. And it was like, you get like $5 off your ticket if you're like in your costume. So I go, I'm like, hey, I'm the dude from Get Out. She was like, no, you're not. Get the fuck out of here. Pay full price. And I was like, all right, yeah, you're right. So that was my Halloween last year.
As a side note, before you move on, Stephen, what did you think of Us?
Oh, Us? Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
I liked Get Out much better.
Same.
But Us had some really good, like, moments like in the entire film as a whole. I felt like, yeah, not as good as your last film, but the little snippets here and there were really good. Great acting, though.
Yeah.
Overall. All right, Steven.
Yeah, Lupita, she should have been nominated for an Oscar, but that's a whole other ball, whatever.
For sure.
Davion, what was your first Halloween costume that you remember?
That's a good one. It actually might have been Spider-Man, now that I really think about it. Mm. And that was, like, the earliest I can remember dressing up was, that was second grade. Yeah, Spider-Man. Not my most iconic one, but that was the first one.
Interesting. Mine was Batman.
Okay. Marvel versus DC out here.
Yep.
What was the most embarrassing store you might have been seen shopping at?
These are like some really good questions. Okay. Most embarrassing store. It's not like super embarrassing. It's just more like a story, I guess. But it was a few years back ago so a lot of my friends and family are female. So I'm hanging out with my two girlfriends, and they're like, "Oh, let's go to Victoria's Secret." So like we go in there, and like I'm just like the only like dude in there at the time, and I just like feel like super out of place. And there are like a few points where, like, they kind of like just left me alone for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I was like, "This is I don't really want y'all do your thing. I'm all about it, but you know, I won't be outside." Good times.
Always good times. All right, somebody grabs you off the street, pulls you into a tattoo parlor, gun to your head, says you get a fucking tattoo right now. I don't care what it is. You get it right now, goddammit. What are you getting?
This is going to be such, like, if you know me, this is, like, such a obvious answer, but the Japanese symbol for dream, like, on the on my left wrist. I got that as, like, a temporary tattoo one day in college, and I was like, this is dope. I'm about to get this for real one day. And I almost got it in December, and I totally forgot about it on the day of. But I'm a huge fan of dreams, huge fan of Japanese culture, as if my game wasn't obvious proof enough. So yeah, that'd be the one.
Did you verify that it is actually the word dreams in Japanese?
Not the word for sock.
Or like...
or testicle.
You know, I did not, and I probably should have. So good to know for next time on the... when it becomes permanent.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with that.
Like, why is the word moist on his wrist? Which animal adds more joy to the world, cats or dogs?
Dogs, 100%. Always been a dog person my entire life.
Mm. Mm. Speaking of dogs, what is your perfect hot dog topping?
See, you know, I'm a simple guy. I just give me some ketchup and mustard. And I'm a happy boy.
Hmm.
Maybe some bacon if you want to be adventurous. But other than that, like, okay. I'm chilling.
Interesting.
Is Jimmy Fallon funny?
Oh, good question.
Sometimes? ?
That's a great answer.
That's a great answer. That is the right answer.
I'm not, like,
that is the right answer.
I'm not like... super educated in the world of Jimmy Fallon comedy, but you know, the few times, you know, I've watched him, he's all right. He's there, I guess.
He exists.
Yeah, he exists.
He has a show.
Yeah, good for him. He's living his life. More power to him.
Who is your favorite movie director?
Oh, you got me talking about movies now. Let's go. It's a tie between. So let me give you my top five, actually, because I don't have just one specific answer. Tarantino, David Fincher, Edgar Wright, Kevin Smith, and it's a close tie between why am I blanking on his name now? How am I blanking? Oh, Hayao Miyazaki. Not even tie. Yeah, Miyazaki.
Oh, yes.
So Kevin Smith's story incoming. I watched for the first time Cop Out because it's, I guess it's new on Netflix or whatever. I don't know. It just showed up. So I was like, hey, I haven't seen that. That was a really fun movie. I wasn't expecting it to be good. I mean, that was filmed.
It's not awful.
No, it was filmed literally in my backyard, like Bay Ridge, right up the block. And, you know, I kept seeing places I know. I'm like, hey, I know that nail salon. I know that little Optimo. I know that space. Anyway, it's funny because you could kind of tell what he, where he took some liberties with the script, because everything, nothing sounds Kevin Smith until it sounds Kevin Smith, if you know what I mean. He has a very distinct writing style, you know, for his conversations and whatnot. I feel like almost everything that, what's his name, Sean William Scott, is that his name? I think that's his name.
Right? Yeah.
Anything that he said,
I think so,
felt very Kevin Smith. Anyway, good answers, though. I appreciate your answers.
Well, this is a mighty fine list.
Indeed.
All right. Would you rather be besties with Beyonce or Rihanna?
Oh, interesting.
Oh. See, I feel like I'm going to say Rihanna because I feel like she would bully me the entire time, but I kind of be into that. So, yeah, Rihanna.
I feel like B would be just way too high maintenance, you know?
She would scare me.
Yeah, just like totally like with the stilettos and like the, come on now. I need somebody that's more.
Actually, random Beyonce story though. So one of my best friends, Chris, he's both a music producer and like he works on like an actual like one of the tour, like a touring like setup guys. So he's like works for like people like, you know, Beyonce, Logic, like all of them. But so when Beyonce came into town, apparently she like has like very specific like requests, and one of hers is like for a couch. And usually for shows like this, it's like cheaper to kind of like just buy a new couch at the venue and kind of just like give it away or throw it out like afterwards. So long story short, he has Beyonce's couch now in his room.
That's awesome.
Not relevant at all, but it's yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's a little weird. If you could take one celebrity's couch and make it your couch, whose couch would you take?
Oof. You know, I'd say Danny DeVito, honestly, because I feel like that couch should have, like, a lot of personality, and I can be down with that.
I would take a black light to that couch the second you get it, though.
Yeah.
The dirtier it is, the better. No, it adds character.
It adds something.
Yep, like all great motels, got tons of character. All right, now, this may be the same answer to this question. Who was your first celebrity crush? And was it Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito in my adulthood. But just in general, it probably had to be Demi Lovato when I was in fifth grade. She was just like, so yeah, love her to this day. She's great.
What was the first movie you remember watching as a kid? Like, what's that one movie that you just have vivid memories of?
Okay, so it wasn't my first movie, but it was like my first I guess movie watching experience, kind of for the negative, well, just for the funny really. But it was when I was a kid and Monsters Inc. came out. And my mom went to go take me to it, and I got like so scared of all the monsters, like I just was like crying throughout the whole movie, just like, you know, covering my eyes. So come like a few weeks later,
kids are so stupid.
A few weeks later, my dad takes me out to the movies again, but he doesn't tell me what we're going to go see. So the movie starts, it's fucking Monsters, Inc. again. I just start, like, same thing, just scared the entire time. And then now it's, like, one of my favorite Pixar movies, so what can
you
do?
It's a great movie.
Great movie.
Makes me cry every time.
Did you think, like, did your mom tell your dad, like, he had a total shit fit? Take him, and you got to see it. Take him with you for probably a second time.
I mean, hey, it hardened me up as a child. I grew not to be scared of monsters after that. Mm-hmm. At least not the ones under the closet, or in the closet, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
If you could travel back in time, what period would you want to go back to?
My birth just ended all right there, man.
Oh, shit. God. Things got shit. Dark.
That's a butterfly infection out the womb, right there.
I came out the womb. It's been downhill ever since, man.
Good lord. All right, you're making the She Dreams Elsewhere movie. Who are your actors? Oh, God.
Danny DeVito for everybody.
I don't hate this idea. Danny DeVito in a green suit, I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
And a green screen. No, we're doing just like full practical effects for everybody. Like this is a film. This is not a Marvel movie. We're making true cinema right here.
Okay. So are you getting like the Henson family to like make practical puppetry, or is it just Danny DeVito in makeup? Like, how are we doing this?
Yes. Yes.
I could see him playing that fucking cat for sure.
Yeah, I kind of be down for that now. I got his voice in my head. Like, every time I'm going to go back to that section of the game, it's just going to be Danny DeVito as a cat now.
It's going to be like the clumps of Danny DeVito. Who is your most wanted character to add to Smash Brothers? And don't you dare fucking say Danny DeVito.
Damn it. No. Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, I'd probably just say Sora. Because I'm a Kingdom Hearts fan.
Yeah.
So
here's my question. You probably can't answer this quickly, but it just treat it as a yes or no question. Could you explain the plot of the Kingdom Hearts movies, games rather?
You know, even if I could and wanted to, just know.
I mean, somebody out there is going to say that you're wrong about something.
See, you know, I'm actually in the midst of playing Kingdom Hearts 3 right now. And like every time they pop up to like explain like some new lore or like bullshit like that, I'm just like, bro, what?
We're gonna need more games to explain that bullshit.
Yep.
DLC first though. Hold them over in the meantime.
It's such convoluted trash, but I love it. It's my trash.
We need Kingdom Hearts 3 and 1 milk. What? Yeah. It's Clarabelle's spinoff. Sorry, I guess. Good God Almighty! That fucking franchise, I swear to God.
It really makes you appreciate like actual good writing in video games.
It really does.
Yeah, I just don't know what the goal there was. Like, in the beginning, it seemed like their goal was to make a really heartwarming story about like essentially rescuing fucking Mickey Mouse and like killing the darkness in your heart, and then everything just went fucking bananas after that. I don't know what's happening.
It didn't make sense at one time, right? I'm not delusional.
Part one, it made sense.
It made sort of sense.
And then part two, they said, yeah, nah, everything that happened in that, here's a new guy. Oh, and that's because the original guy took the darkness out of his heart, and now it's a new person.
People gotta stop giving Kojima so much shit. Yeah. His stories are like fucking.
At least his stories make sense in a Wikipedia page. Like,
sure,
yeah.
You need the fucking pegboard to understand Kingdom Hearts. Like Kingdom Hearts, you need to play a game on a system that people, like half the people, didn't even own.
You need a handler to play those games properly. Yeah. To sit next to you and say what every little thing. Yeah,
you need your own personal
pair of weebs on each side.
Whose question was it? Is it your question?
It's mine. Up to me. Right. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Ooh, that's actually really good and like really tough. Fuck. Okay. It would probably have to be. I forget. A bunch of people just said it to me, like just over the years, but just like. The general kind of like advice was kind of like just do it, like just go for it. Like, you know, life is like too short. It's like, you know, and that's what I kind of take with me, like whenever I'm doing any like new creative project where it's like, you know, this could be like the one and only like game or like whenever only movie I make. It's like, might as well like just do it, you know, go full on with it. And then when it's done, like, you know, that's fun to have that experience and then time for the next thing.
It's good advice. From the person that wants to go back in time and take himself out as a newborn. Anyway,
basically, never take advice from me. I'm telling all of you listeners that right now. Just don't.
Ooh, it's a very fine line. Very fine line. All right, what do you think of the PS5 controller that was just revealed?
yeah, that boy is sexy. I'm like, I ain't even gonna cap. That thing is just.
Isn't she? Just, oh my God.
It's just so pretty. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think it looks too much like an Xbox controller?
It does kind of skew towards Xboxy, but like I don't really mind it. Like the Xbox One controller is like probably like my favorite controller of all time, like next to the GameCube. So I'm not upset about it.
The GameCube controller, man. I feel like the GameCube controller simultaneously gets way too much praise and not enough praise.
Yes.
Like it's a great because it feels great. Like it feels really good. But that one fucking nub is so stupid. I don't know why they do that. Why do they do that? Why? I don't know. I don't know. The answer is I don't know.
Always something like that in like Nintendo consoles.
Yeah,
like, why
exactly.
Do that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Andy?
What's in your pockets right now?
Ooh.
Let's see. I have my ID, my debit cards, two business cards, and $21, and some chapstick.
All right, follow up. What are your debit card numbers?
Zero is what's in the account.
666-420-6969. Gang.
Love it. Say what? What is your favorite song right now?
Oh, okay. I just got onto her. Rain Girl by Yeji. And all of her music is like amazing. It's like this like super like electronic like mix of like hip hop, but like kinda it's like something you can like both chill to but also like rave to. So like I'm all about it.
Andy, is that the artist that what's our friend Philip was trying to get us into? Sounds familiar.
Oh, I think you're right.
It's like that weird singer that does the weird music videos. Is that right?
I don't know if that's the same person.
I'm so out of it, man. I listen to I only listen to music made by artists that came out in 1990, between 1991 and 1997. Anything else after that, I don't follow. These things happen, man.
You're missing out, man.
I know I'm not cultured. I get it. Andy, hit us up with your final question, then I will get us with the final question of the evening.
Right. Would you rather have an obsessive crazy person love you or hate you?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'd probably have to say hate, because at least I can like kind of ignore them and tune them out to a certain point.
Right.
If they love you, then it's like you kind of, if it gets like super bad, you kind of like have like a straight up stalker on your hands, and like that's like, I'm not about that. So yeah.
Yeah, and the stalker that loves you could also wind up killing you.
That too.
The stalker that hates you might want to just be your friend because they're jealous and want to be with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird fucking, God, crazy people are weird. All right. Speaking of love and hate, the final question is a traditional question. It is a question that we ask all of our guests at the very end of rapid fire questions. And I hope you're excited and I hope you're prepared. And I'm very curious to know what your answer is going to be. Davion, I hope you're prepared. I hope you are sitting down and I hope you are in your thinking chair. As one would say.
Apparently, I'm thinking right now, so it is now.
You're damn right you are, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, that one snuck up on me. Oh man, just threw up my mouth a little bit. That one came out of nowhere. Oh, that one hurt. All right, let me take a little sip. Take a little sipsy sip. Get that out of my mouth. All right. The question is, Andy or Steven?
Both.
Now you.
You can't see me, but I'm dabbing right now.
Mm-hmm. You're dabbing. I think we can accept that answer.
Can we accept the dab? Hold on, we got to go to judges.
Judges, yeah. What do they say? Survey says
thumbs up. We got thumbs up. We got
all right.
Thumbs up.
First ever dab.
Wow, first ever dab as an answer. I hope super fan Zach is, aka Buzz Killington, is taking notes and can keep track of who's winning the contest here. But that is our first dab as an answer.
Just so you know, if I'm the most disliked, it's still a win for me.
Well, yes.
A win is a win, my man.
Yeah,
exactly.
Put that W is a W. So before I wrap this whole all up, we do have a couple of extra minutes here. So I do want to ask you something. We have the next gen is upon us. We have delays coming left and right. There's rumors that there's going to be massive delays for the end of the year because of this whole virus that's going around. But that notwithstanding, what is your excitement for next gen? Like, what are you most excited for in the next gen?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, I'm most excited for just like the variety of games that are going to be coming out. Because I think in these last few years, we've gotten like a lot of both like you have like the AAA like kind of super high budget high like marketing like the big boys like the AAA stuff coming out, and that's dope. But we've also have like a lot of like really interesting and really kind of low key like indie games coming out.
Yeah.
Both indie and like kind of AA games. So I'm excited to see like more of that, especially as the industry is kind of like growing and matured these past few years. So I'm really excited to kind of see like, what voices kind of like arise from like this new kind of era of game making, especially with like stuff like, Game Pass, like Epic Games, like just all these like kind of different ways to like fund your game besides like, Kickstarter and like just traditional publishers. So that'll be cool to kind of see like how that'll affect development and like how it'll affect like the people actually making games, like who is like actually making these games. So I'm very excited.
Awesome. Awesome. That was great. That was a great show. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Davion, it was an absolute pleasure hanging out with you.
Same here. It's been a banger of a time. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well.
Indeed. Andy, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a really good answer. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's never been more accessible, like, to be a game developer.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we have so many options now and avenues to approach it. And I feel like going into next gen, we're going to see so many creative games coming out. And yours is definitely one of them.
No. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been the Dual Screens Podcast. Remember, this show posts each and every Thursday on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio, Spotify. You can also find us on YouTube at youtube.com/DualScreensTV. And of course, you can find everything we do on DualScreens.com. And if you want to watch us stream, please head over to twitch.tv/DualScreensStreams. When we're not interviewing awesome video games, to get video game devs, excuse me, like Davion, Andy and I also host the Dual Screens Gamescast. That's a gaming news show that pits the most talked about headlines from Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft and declares the biggest winners and losers of the week. That posts each and every Monday right here on the very same channel. You don't even have to subscribe to a different goddamn channel. You are getting so much content for your ear holes. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. And of course, we're doing seasonal shows. And the final episode of Andy Explains It All is going up this Friday on this very same channel. And what is Andy Explains It All? It's very simple. It's a show where one very smart idiot, Andy, explains something to a very dumb idiot, me, that I know nothing about. That's it. It posts on this Friday. It's the final episode. And then we're going to get into a new show, which we'll announce at the end of Andy Explains It All. Please, if you're listening to this show on Apple Podcasts, or even if you own an iPod, but it's not where you, or an iPhone, but it's not where you listen to the show, get on there, find us in the Apple Podcast, and give us a review, please. It helps the show out tremendously. You can also support us by going to Patreon at patreon.com/NDSPodcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without your support, especially in these pretty dire times. If you are looking to, spread some love and back some smaller content creators, we would appreciate you heading over to patreon.com/NDS podcast, and literally just $1 gets you a bonus episode every month. You get to vote on the topic for the show, and you also get to hang out in our VIP Discord channel, which Davion, you are invited to as one of our guests, so you can come.
Hey,
absolutely, you're
gang.
You're a VIP. You did it. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/DualScreensPodcast. Or you could follow our DS Podcasts. And or you could just go to facebook.com/DualScreens.com. DOTCOM. Davion, where can everybody find you on the social media?
You can find me at Studio Zevere. That's Studio Zevere. You can find all the super game updates up on there, Twitter and Instagram. If you want to follow me personally, I'm at Davion Gooden. My name is really hard to spell, so just look in the description probably. Yep. But also on Twitter and Instagram. I post occasionally, usually photos. So yeah, stay tuned, kids. And Sea Dreams Elsewhere, it'll be out later this year. PC, Mac, Linux, Xbox One, Game Pass, and also like some more stuff that's like in the works. So, you know, stay tuned, kids. We're going to make it happen.
Sweet. Awesome. Remember, we want to thank our contributors. Our theme song, Retro Chatter, is by Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for our art. You can follow him at Angimoto and Matt Murray for our overlays on Twitch and all of that fun stuff. We are selling a shirt for COVID-19 relief. It is a specific design. It says, be excellent and stay the fuck inside. Of course, the F is bleeped out, but, you know, whatever. It's a cool looking shirt, and the link to that will be in the description as well. So if you any profit made from those shirts will go directly to charity, and actually the company that's making the shirts, they set up the charity, like, for you. You choose, oh, this is for charity, and then, like, you kind of click some boxes, and it knows which charity, and it's going to find the right organization to donate the money to. So if you want to do that, please do. And if you want to buy our regular merch, you could go to dualscreens.com/store. And that's it. That's been another very, very exciting, very awesome episode of the Dual Screens Podcast. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Davion. That is it. We
Thank
are done.
You, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, I want to plug one last time our YouTube channel.
Yes.
YouTube.com/DualScreensTV. We put up our new series today, or we're just listing stuff, our top 10 best indie games coming out this year. And if you want to highlight more of the games that we love and care about and just give them the attention they deserve on the internet, so check that out. And just, again, be safe, stay inside, and play She Dreams Elsewhere on Steam. And wishlist that shit while you're at it.
Wishlist.
Only if you want to. It's a free country.
And a free demo also.
Indeed.
That too.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Davion. This has been the Dual Screens Podcast. We love you, and as always, please be excellent to each other.